Escuchas. Escuchas un podcast de Dixo.
Escuchas Crimen Digital con Andrés Velázquez.
¿Qué tal, amigos? Bienvenidos a Crimen Digital, su podcast sobre ciberseguridad, delitos informáticos, todo lo que tiene que ver con el cibercrimen. Mi nombre es Andrés Velázquez, me encuentran en Twitter como @cibercrimen, en Facebook como Andrés Velázquez Cibercrimen, y pueden seguir las redes de este podcast como @crimendigital y también en Facebook Crimen Digital. Recuerden que también tenemos la página crimendigital.com, donde estamos colocando el último episodio y esperamos sus comunicaciones, principalmente vía redes sociales, para poder llegar a saber que nos están escuchando y que les gustaron los episodios. Pues creo que el episodio pasado fue un gran episodio y hoy no los voy a dejar con una sensación diferente. Hoy vamos a estar platicando con uno de mis profesores, y de hecho es el coordinador del curso de administración de crisis o crisis management que se da en el MIT. Tuve la fortuna de estar cursando ese programa en el MIT y pues ahorita, con todo este tema del coronavirus, debido a que estamos en marzo del 2020, pues encerrados, home office y diferentes cosas, quiero platicar del tema de manejo de crisis desde una perspectiva no solo de la pandemia, sino también desde un punto de vista tecnológico. Así es que espero que les guste esta entrevista, que será en inglés, con Steve Goldman.
Friends of Crimen Digital, again, this is another podcast, and yes, it is in English, because we have a very good friend. He was actually one of my professors at the crisis management course, and he's going to be talking about that course down or up, if I'm in Mexico, that's up in Boston at the MIT. So, Steve Goldman, how are you? Thank you very much for being here in Crimen Digital.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast and look forward to our conversation.
Well, Steve, we have something that we do here in Crimen Digital, and it's we let pretty much every single person that gets into this podcast to introduce himself, you know, and in this case, I already shared a little bit about you, but I would like to know and to share it with every listener how you started on crisis management and what's your background.
Okay, it is a strange background. I actually have 2 degrees in nuclear engineering, and I started working nuclear plants and design and operation. Then I got into nuclear emergency planning for nuclear plants, and that led to corporate emergency planning for non-nuclear, for just regular corporations. In between, I've been an engineer, I've been a crisis planner, crisis responder. I was a manager of media relations. They dragged me into public affairs, and I really enjoy doing that. So I've got a deep background in crisis communications. And then I was a global manager for business continuity at a Silicon Valley firm. I left there, went and got my doctorate in education because I thought that would be best to carry on. So now I developed a course at MIT, as you well remember, you attended, Crisis Management and Business Continuity, which has been running. This is our 11th year. So I enjoy that. I teach at Harvard a couple courses on crisis communications and crisis exercises, and do consulting on the side to feed the cats. So it's an interesting background. I really enjoy it. I love working with people on crises because you prepare people for that, and then when a crisis hits, they come through it. They come through it successfully. So that's kind of my background.
That's great, and well, let's get into what I wanted to talk to you, and that's crisis management in a time that we're facing the COVID-19, this coronavirus. We're facing that companies are trying to maintain their operations, and I don't think it's only a matter of a disaster recovery plan. It's more and more kind of a crisis that it's facing. But also we have something on the federal side and also worldwide. So let's try to start from the top, you know, from the worldwide side. What's going on with this crisis management? What is and probably we're going to start asking you, what is a crisis management?
This particular crisis, the COVID-19, is a true definition of a crisis, something that occurs quickly, swiftly, has severe consequences, and requires immediate response. And this one hit, no one could have expected it to be this bad. But in times of crisis leads times of opportunity, which leads times of leadership. And so leadership is very important in this. Organizations, governments, agencies, businesses, their people need to show that they are in charge and they are doing what they need to do. So this is not only a test of responding to the germs, it's a test of responding to leadership questions, leadership actions. Business continuity, when half your staff or more cannot show up because they're required to stay at home, how do you run a business? And again, we will come through this. This crisis will eventually pass, but it's going to take a lot of leadership and a lot of operations to work to make this happen. A great example is IT. Everybody says, well, we'll just work from home. Okay, well, who makes that happen? That's IT people. Mm-hmm. And one of the key things I've been looking at is if you think of any company, any organization, any business, any government agency, they're built on three key elements, all right? Number one is people. Mm-hmm. Number two is facilities and supplies. Think of a car factory, a government office. They all need that. But nowadays, the third key element is connectivity. It's the IT function. We don't have that. No one works at home. Nothing gets done. That's why the IT function, all this COVID-19 is so, so very important. Basically, IT is the key to successful pandemic response and recovery. And I emphasize the word recovery.
But at the end, and you did not mention cybersecurity. The cybersecurity, at least on the crisis plan, is on the IT side or should be on the IT side, or it should be separated from it.
No, it's got to be part of the response, all right? If you just look at what's going on out there now, all these people, I'll just call them bad actors, they're using phishing schemes to you know, target the elderly at home and the work-at-home people. They are sending out emails saying, you know, in order to get you, in the United States, the government's handing out stimulus checks. Basically, it's salaries for a couple months. These people are sending notes or emails to everyone saying, we need to verify your personal information. Please reply back with all this personal information in order to get your stimulus check. Mm-hmm. And so they're using these phishing schemes that are just unbelievably, I don't even know the word to describe it, evil to make that happen. If you want to receive your check, you got to do this. And older people, they don't understand that. People in a hurry, okay, fine, I'll just do this. You know, there are other, I'll just call them agencies and bad actors who are spoofing the Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization, saying, we're the World Health Organization, please click on this document to help you get through the virus. And what is a document? It's malware. Mm-hmm. And so cybersecurity is extremely important in all this. People need to be made aware of what could go wrong and how to combat it.
Do the crisis management or the crisis managers or the crisis plan, how often they include cybersecurity from your perspective? And you have been doing this for a while. And I remember that we spoke at the course and I said, you know, I'm a cybersecurity, cybercrime expert. And you were like looking at me, not surprised because you knew what was it, but, you know, probably was different from the type of attendees that you had at the short course.
This is true. Most of our attendees are managers, vice presidents, leaders in risk, business continuity, human resources, and operations and finance. You were different, which I like because it showed that you cared about the bigger picture, not just cybersecurity, but how that impacts everybody else. So you're absolutely right. And the key thing is cybersecurity, IT, impacts everybody. It's like blood in a human. Every element is touched within an organization. That's why it's so important. So yes, cybersecurity, It needs to be drilled. Well, first of all, you need to have a plan. You need to have response procedures, and then you need to implement those procedures and obviously test them with training and drills. Now, a lot of companies do, I guess, what are called penetration tests, and they do that. But I run a series of drills just on a cybersecurity problem, and it's really interesting how people, well, okay, IT, you deal with it. Tell me when it's fixed. And they have no idea how it impacts their operations, their organizations. You can't write payroll checks. You can't, you know, send out reports. You can't have meetings because the system's down. And that, to me, is like the key point of running drills and exercises of this, of cybersecurity alone, because it impacts everywhere in the organization.
And I don't think that we're doing enough drills in any part of this crisis preparation, at least not on cybersecurity, but also when I have been talking to some CEOs of companies, they're not even doing any kind of drill or a complete drill. They're just doing like tabletop exercises, and that's pretty much it. From your perspective, is there a huge difference in between doing a full drill or a tabletop exercise?
Oh, absolutely. The tabletop exercise is good. Gather people around a table, talk through things. But in the tabletop, it's mainly, well, if this were to occur, then I would do this. If that were to occur, then I would do that. And they talk it out in theory, and people go, okay, fine. That looks like that's in the plan. Check. The problem is you have to make people actually do what they say they're going to do. I'll give you a great example. I did a series of IT drills, cybersecurity drills, at a set of hospitals in the United States. And what we did was we took down the network. The hospital network was hit with a ransomware, and they basically the right decision for the IT people is shut the system down, we'll repair it. So in a tabletop, okay, we'll do that. It'll be back in 4 hours, whatever. And people said, okay, fine. We actually did it in the hospital. And when it turns out, and if you guys have been into a hospital recently, the minute you check in, you put into the system, you're hooked up to a bunch of appliances and probes that send information to the system. Well, when that system is gone, there's no way they can monitor you. All that monitoring is gone. So all the iPads and screens that nurses and doctors have goes away. People did not know what to do because all that went away because the system was down. It was, and mm-hmm. A tabletop drill would not have brought that out, but putting people through an exercise did. And just as a humorous note, the older people, my generation, said, okay, go get the forms. And the younger people, your generation, said basically, what are forms? Where are they? Mm-hmm. Well, they're in mm-hmm. the forms filing cabinet. A filing cabinet, where's that? It's in the stock room. Where's the stock room? I mean, you see where we're going with this, is the younger generation are so used to filling out iPads and forms on their cell phones or their iPads, they don't know how to do actual paper forms. And they couldn't even find pens and pencils. It was interesting. So the hospital said, this is not right, because if we lose the network, we can't do this. And so they've implemented a training policy on, you know, network goes down, use the systems, use the backup systems as they were designed. It was really kind of funny because, again, some of the millennials didn't even know how to use cursive writing. They used block writing on forms, and it took them forever to fill out a form. Mm-hmm. So again, a valuable learning process that a tabletop drill would not have brought out, but a full-scale exercise did.
And pretty much, you know, I would like to bring and try to discuss with you a situation. We're facing right now a worldwide crisis. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, if I was paying attention to your classes, this fell into the pandemic area, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm fine with that. I feel comfortable with your response. So can this lead to other crises, and specifically to crises that are for companies?
Oh, absolutely. A pandemic impact, like I said, the three pillars of any organization: people, facilities, and connectivity. Well, if you lose connectivity, people don't show up. They can't do their work. Companies don't buy products or supplies or input from other companies, so that whole supply chain falls down. And this could seriously lead to some real problems in the long term. Social distancing is one thing, but pretty soon organizations are going to have to, you know, come back and rebuild, and that's going to take some time. I don't know what it's like down there, but up here it's kind of a joke. You can't find toilet paper, paper towels, or cleaners in the supermarkets because people are hoarding them. So that's kind of a minor, kind of silly concept, but it's representative of things that could happen in a long-term crisis like this. So yes, I agree.
So let's try to share some advice to the people that are listening to this podcast. So yes, we're in a crisis. You already said that we're going to be fine, that we're going to succeed in the steps on what's going on right now, that we have to be aware about other crises. It is correctly to say crises?
Crises.
Crises. Okay. To other crises in a way that the company should be doing something. At this point, company that is on the IT sector, that has employees working from home, that they have to maintain pretty much the operation, what could be the best advice that you could tell them?
Well, again, the use of the technology is an extremely important role. Okay, so the IT people need to ensure that the network systems and telecommunication structure are able to work in a crisis, work with minimal human interface, plus also handle all the additional people using it. You know, having 10, 20% of your workforce from home is one thing. Having 60, 70, 80 is another. I've worked with several companies who we put them through a drill, and they said, oh yeah, we can VPN in. Well, it turns out their VPN can only handle 25% of the work at home force. And we showed that in the drill. They said, oh my goodness, we need to fix that. So I'm afraid some company is going to find this out during this pandemic. Okay. Make sure employees know how to use the hardware. Just because someone works at home with their laptop, do they know how to use it? Can they print? I would recommend a direct support line for home workers so that they could call separate from the helpline that, hey, I work at home, I've got this problem, and there's a whole special team just to handle that. Absentee, IT people are going to be impacted just like everybody else. So can your IT department operate with 25, 35% people sick? Yeah, they can work from home, but you know, if you're ill, you're not going to feel like answering any phone calls or even thinking straight. So can IT do that? I would cross-train employees to make sure that people can do that. If you don't do social distancing and you do have people in the office, you know, what if someone gets sick in the office? How do you handle that? What's your policy? So there are just tons and tons of things like that. Your third parties, your suppliers, and your services people, can they help you? If you rely on, say, an outside organization to deliver equipment, to deliver supplies, or to provide people, are they going to be able to help you? One thing I joked with a friend of mine about was, the printer runs out of toner. Where are you going to get toner? Like, really, toner? It's like, well, it's a supply that people need, let alone printers. Prints will be fine. No toner, they're useless. So, you know, look at your supplies. Where does that come from? We talked about security risks, the phishing and the malware and everything. That's just unbelievable. You have to address that and make sure that that stuff can work. And then, the other thing, of course, is IT, in some cases, is responsible for servicing the call center. So a lot of people will be calling in, hey, what about this? What about that? The call center staff can be working at home. That's fine. But, you know, what happens if they start getting sick? They can't do their job. Can their phone system deal with it? Everyone's on cell phones for the most part. Can your local cell phone provider handle all of that? You know, Mexico City's got 22 million people. If everybody's on their cell phone, can that system handle it? So things like that you need to look for. It's a huge list. I mean, it really is. One thing I tell banks is, you know, clean your ATM screens and keypads. And they go like, oh yeah, because people are going to do a run on cash and all the screens clearly have to be cleaned. So depending upon your business, you may look at, you know, what other tools and resources do I need to make sure that we get through this. It's an interesting case. We will come through this, and there will be some damage in all different sectors and all different areas, from humans to technology to leadership, but we will pass.
Yeah, and it's funny because actually on my company, we're doing home office. And actually, I had to sign some papers and send it back, some contracts. And I just realized I don't have a printer at home. So I had to figure out how to print something. And, you know, considering what is happening, I was not planning on going to an office depot or a Office Max or whatever in order to print it. So there are challenges that you're not considering from the beginning. And on the other hand, about cybersecurity, and I'm going to be quoting here a tweet from Kevin Beaumont that actually I found on the internet, and I actually retweeted because it's amazing. So it says, PSA to cybersecurity peeps. If you're very upset about some security risk your business has taken in the past week to enable remote working, the board is very likely trying to find out how to save the entire company from going bust in the coming weeks.
Right.
So for everybody that is on the cybersecurity community that is listening to this podcast, yes, we have to be trying to solve all the cybersecurity risks that we're facing right now with all the home office and all other things that are happening. But we also have to be very aware that we're going to have to accept some risk right now.
Yes.
And it's a matter of how we can start trying to minimize those risks in the following weeks. But if the operation needs right now to be able to share a desktop remotely, we have to make it happen as fast as we can with certain amount of risk. What do you think about this tweet?
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. In any crisis, you have to take risks. That's just the way it is. And some you win and sometimes you lose. But for the most part, if you're guided by a good set of ethical principles and a good set of being, and this is what we do, this is who we are, you should survive. You'll make the right decisions. In some cases, things work against you. You know, blame it on luck, God, or, you know, the universe. Sometimes no matter what you do, it doesn't work out. Accept that and carry on. Look at the big thing is look at the long term. The pandemic will eventually pass. Where do you want to be when it's passed? And my guidance has always been, you want to come out ahead. You want to come out as leaders. You want to come out as people who do the right thing, because people remember that for a long time. Banks. One of the things I counseled with banks was some of their members, you know, some of their depositors, they're going to hit financial problems. So what are you going to do? Foreclose on their mortgage, make their loan due, charge them 100% interest. Is that the right thing to do? No. No, it's not. Everyone's going to have to suffer in this, and that's just the way it is. And I guess what I'd like to leave you with is eventually the pandemic will pass. Eventually things will return to somewhat normal. But how you respond will be remembered for a long, long time.
And specifically for cybersecurity, right now, this CISO or CISO or the guy that is in charge of cybersecurity in a company, what, you know, from my perspective, it's they should be just doing their job and trying to communicate to the board of directors or the boss or the CEO what's going on, but not over communicate. Is that something that you have to do on a crisis?
Yes, in any crisis, the big secret of crisis management is all we want them to do, this is the leadership, and it's a huge all, but all we want them to do is show up and do their job. So the CISO is not going to be doing HR issues. The CISO is not going to be shoveling coal into a furnace. He's going to show up and do his job. All we ask, though, it gets done quickly, as efficiently as possible, and with as many resources as available. So, yes, absolutely correct.
Well, Steve, you know that time is always something that goes against these podcasts. but do you have something else you want to share with us from your notes? That I know that you have been getting a lot of information in order to share it to us. Is there something else that you want to share?
No, I think I said basically everything. Again, this will pass. This will pass. Mm-hmm. We have to do what we have to do. Sacrifices will need to be made by everybody. And again, I just emphasize the IT force that's out there is going to be the key to the success of how well people do and how quickly we respond and recover. So my hats off are to you, Andres, and to your listeners for doing the right thing and getting it done properly.
Do you think this crisis right now will lead us to a new way of doing things?
Oh, yeah. I think it will. Sadly, after every crisis, you learn things, and you learn how to do things better, more efficiently, or just learn a whole different way of doing things. And I am sure that when we're done, simple things like face masks and flu tests, they will be stockpiled in huge quantities forever, you know, just as a semi-facetious example. But from an IT point of view, think about it. Running the business with half to three-quarters of your staff at home, half of your IT staff unavailable, the system's going to work. You know, praise the Lord for the power plant people who keep the electrons flowing with the power. I mean, without them, we would all be sitting home doing nothing. So, again, there's a whole series of people.
I will include also not only the power plant, but also the internet providers, you know?
Yes,
because
yeah.
Otherwise, we're not going to be able to connect to. And you said about it, you know, connectivity. Well, yeah. Steve, thank you very much for accepting being here in this podcast. It's always great talking to you. You have been a couple of times in Mexico giving some lectures, and I know that you're planning on doing some training here and consultancy in Mexico, but also in other countries around Latin America and worldwide. So it's always an honor to talk to you.
Okay, I appreciate, Andres. I appreciate this opportunity. And next time I'm there, you're buying dinner. Fair enough?
I know. It's fair enough. Even that you didn't like the last time the mezcal, you know, I still appreciate you. But
I tried
anyway,
it.
So, If someone wants to get hold of you, where they can find you? Are you on Twitter? Are you on any social network, or how they can contact you?
Just my MIT email, goldmans, so goldmans, at mit.edu. So goldmans at mit.edu. That'd be the best way.
Excellent. Well, Steve, thank you very much again, and thank you very much for being in this podcast.
My pleasure, amigo. Talk to you soon.
Pues hasta aquí dejamos esta gran plática con Steve, al cual le agradecemos mucho la oportunidad de haber platicado con él. Y pues no me queda más que recordarles que nos sigan en las redes sociales. Ya saben cuáles son. Los comentamos en todos los episodios. Mándenme sus mensajes. ¿Qué les pareció? Denle retweets, particularmente a los posts o a los tweets de Crimen Digital, ya sea en Facebook o en Twitter, para que sus amigos o la gente cercana pueda llegar a saber que existe este podcast. Así es que con esto terminamos. No me queda más que decirles que esto fue Crimen Digital.
Dixo presentó
Crimen Digital con Andrés Velázquez.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.